What's up, y'all? This is your host, B, and you're now tuned in to Bontroversial.
Ooh, DJ Red.
Yo, welcome back to another episode of Bontroversial. Want to wish you guys a happy new year. I appreciate everybody tapping in. I'm back at it, man. It's been a while. Since about October, we dropped the episode, but we're in the midst of a great NFL season, a postseason that we just are witnessing. Wild Card Weekend last weekend. A little bit fell over into the week with that Monday slate. But, man, I'm just so excited to be back and give you guys some content and really just dive into these NFL playoffs. You know, we got a lot more stuff coming with other sports and things like that. But for now, we're going to get to the meat of what we got going on here, which is the NFL playoffs. So let's go ahead and get into Wild Card Weekend. We can start off with the very first game. The only game I got wrong on my 5-1 predictions last week, straight up. I didn't really touch the spreads. I don't really like touching the spreads in the playoffs, but I'll look at the spreads today and we'll see if there's something we want to get into when we go over to the divisional rounds. But let's go ahead and start with, you know, Bengals Raiders. My wrong prediction, you know, I did predict that, you know, the Bengals are an offense that's relying on the big play, and they are still relying on the big play, but one thing they showed is that they can use the running game and Joe Mixon in the run game very effectively. And they did that a lot against the Raiders. You know, the Raiders all night long seem to have issues hearing the play calls. The jungle was every bit of the jungle for that matchup. You know, they haven't won a playoff game in 31 years, if I'm correct. So they were definitely, you know, ready to get in there and, you know, put on for the fans and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of false starts for the Raiders, you know, and they still found their way to put themselves in a position to tie the game at the end. But what you saw is Ja'Marr Chase is every bit of elite that we think he is. I was speaking to somebody a few days ago, and I said, you know, even if Ja'Marr has a sophomore slump or he doesn't look as good next year, that's not one of those guys that I'm going to say is a one-year wonder or, you know, question whether he can get it done moving forward. I think that, you know, Ja'Marr is solidifying himself as one of those guys, and Burrow finds him unconsciously. And I think that's something that, you know, it's going to be big for them, you know, going down the road. Every quarterback, you know, they made a big run. They got their blanket guy. They got the guy they can trust no matter what. Rodgers got Tay. Brady's had Gronk, AB. Pat got Travis. Tyree, you know, who else we got? Now, even Jimmy G got Debo. Then you also have, who am I missing? Jimmy G got Debo. Derek Carr got Waller. You know, so everybody got their guy. So, you know, they're definitely linked up in a connection that looks to be an all-time connection, you know, with the progression moving forward that we expect to see from them. And in that game, you just saw a lot of, early in the game, you saw Zach Taylor in that play calling from the offensive coordinator, that they were really comfortable going all empty and really ready to show that, you know, our guys can beat you one-on-one or in zone coverage, and we don't got to disguise it. We're going to let it happen. So they did their air arsenal was very elite. I feel like Derek Carr, you know, forced some throws early in that game and late in that game, kind of put them in a bind. I wish they would have got the running game going a little more. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can't ask for nothing but put yourself in a position to win, which they did at the end, 20, 30 yards away from getting in the end zone. And you see Derek Carr try to fit it in a tight hole that was unavailable and, you know, got picked off. They made a big play with the Bengals, that is. And, you know, that's how that game ended. A couple of takeaways from that game is you look at Burrow, he's locked in. He's every bit of what we thought he was and looking to be more. I would say the Bengals have already overachieved this season. Moving forward, I would like to see the injuries on their D-line. How is that going to look? D-line is a big key, especially with Derrick Henry coming back in Tennessee. So I would like to see how that D-line looks Even to this point in the episode, I'm still not even sure who I'm picking on Cincinnati and Tennessee. That is the most tough matchup that I've had to go back and forth with. Now, I could be wrong about the other matchups. That doesn't mean I can't be wrong about the other ones, but this is the one that I have trouble picking the most, although I do feel like those other ones will come to pass. We'll get to that later. And, yeah, Bengals playing good football at the right time and, you know, be a very competitive matchup in Tennessee, round one. And moving on to the next game, you have the Bills and the Patriots. A lot of people were giving me opinions as far as the Patriots were going to get the job done and things of that nature due to Belichick, young quarterbacks, a variety of things, but a lot revolving around Belichick. And one thing that Belichick can't do, although he's a great coach, is he can't play. He can't play for him. And we saw that. We saw that if you don't got a quarterback that's ready to sling it, they're not going to be able to stand a chance against the Bills and Josh Allen. And, you know, Mac Jones is a good quarterback, but right now he's a game manager that has playmaking moments. He is not a playmaker. So I don't want to really – I mean, I'm not going to say he did the best he could, but, you know, when it came to a situation where – he had to do more and was asked to do more. You know, he's not ready to do that. You know, you can't ask also, so let me rewind. You can't also ask Mac Jones on the same breath to try to go back and forth when an offense has been on the field in the Bills that scored 7 straight touchdowns. He is not going to be able to go back and forth with that, and a lot of quarterbacks in this league won't. So, you know, that game was gone past early. I figured it would be a beat down. The Bills had a bad taste in their mouth after their regular season loss at home when Josh Allen threw for 3 passes and they got ran all over. And I'm sure in that locker room, they vowed to never let that happen again. The Patriots are the perfect matchup for them because they're fighting their demons early, and they went out and made a statement against that. And I like to see that. And the Bills are pretty good moving forward. And so we can go on head over to the Sunday slate. That first game, Philly Bucks, I mean, is everything I predicted it would be. You know, you go in, you got Jalen Hurts against Brady. Brady always coming out on fire in the playoffs. He starts early. He has that urgency. So, you know, with Philly being real reliant on the run game, it's going to be interesting to see, like, if they could get it going early to keep up, because if they can't, it's going to be a game of falling behind. And even when they did fall behind, they still trying to run it, to keep it honest, but it's just not enough. And when you look at that matchup again, it's like, you know, they were I wouldn't say they were tailor-made for the Bucs, but at the end of the day, quarterback not being able to sling the ball necessarily effectively, moving the ball down the field and relying on a run game, you got Todd Bowles that had an exquisite game plan to shut that down. You really left yourself to no dimensions to be able to win that game. So, I mean, that game was everything I thought it would be. At best, you're looking at a scenario in that game where Jalen Hurts comes out on fire, gets a big lead early or something, and Brady, you know, makes a comeback. But I never thought that, you know, that was a winnable game for them in almost any scenario. Credit to them making the playoffs, Nick Sirianni, you know, that group getting there. You know, they had a tough start to the season, but they made it up, and they all had to got some things done to make sure they were a better team moving forward. And, you know, they ended up making the playoffs. They got some decisions to make whether Hurts is the guy moving forward. I would like to see them with another receiver. Goddard looks to be the guy at tight end, and, you know, they have a serious run game. So, you know, we'll see how the NFC looks next year. But, you know, they're one of those bubble teams that – always on the border making the playoffs. So we'll see if they get into a playoff contender or, you know, stay on that bubble. And the 3:30 game, Cowboys, San Francisco 49ers. This is one of the games I was most sure about to Cowboys fans. It might have been hating. I'm just letting you know straight up. That run game, the way that Ayuk and Debo are not only exquisite route runners, but exquisite after the catch, were going to be things that were going to be extremely detrimental to the Cowboys. And not only that, what proved to be even more true is the undisciplinedness of the Cowboys and how they came into that game. I mean, 14 penalties, I don't have to say it to for anybody. No, you're just not winning a game like that. I mean, you could have not looked at the box score, looked at anything in that game. 14 penalties, you're picking a team that doesn't have 14 penalties, most likely. And I mean, you know, that 7 points in three quarters, things of that nature, like this is all without the greatness of Deebo Samuel, the time he plays of Brandon Ayuk. You know, these are things that are almost self-defeating. You know, so when I look at that game and look at it as, okay, yes, you see a game where Jimmy G's comfortable early. He's doing his thing. The run game's going. They get a turnover. Deebo scores off the turnover. Big 23-7 lead. Crazy momentum. The house looked half and half as far as Niner fans and Cowboys fans. It's crazy in there. So momentum, obviously, with San Francisco. But then you come out the half. Jimmy G shaky as far as his throws. He throws an interception. Kittle almost, quote unquote, fumbles. They call it an incompletion, which is 100% was an incompletion. Yes, it was an incompletion. And so, I mean, I look at that game like the Cowboys got back into it, but they were led back into it. And I feel like if San Francisco came out in the third quarter and just put them in throat, you could have saw a beatdown. But nevertheless, Dak makes another empty calorie comeback. I'm sorry to say it, but it was empty calories. And, you know, they came up short. As far as the last play, it's not the only reason they lost. You could put that in the microscope, of course. But, I mean, to me, I saw quick outs to the flat, even though they were playing sideline coverage. You sling it to the flat quick. They have 3 to 5 yards. You get out. You could get 3 to 5 yards 3 times. You know, maybe even a little more on a third or second time, and you can get the same amount of yards and save clock as you probably got going down in the middle of the field. Now, Dak is running down the middle of the field, and it's like, okay, cool. Two things. My biggest issue is either slide earlier if that's what you're going to do. No, three issues. Slide earlier if that's what you're going to do. Don't give the ball to the center. Give it to the ref. That's what you're supposed to do. And thirdly, if you're making $75 million and you feel like that's not going to get the job done and you're not going to give you a chance to win, change the fucking play call. It's simple as that. If you're going to – like, the best take matters in their own hands sometimes. And I'm not trying to deem him to not be – a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's a great or elite quarterback either. But what I'm saying is if they believe in you to be that guy, you got to show that in moments when the odds are stacked against you or, you know, circumstances and adversity is upon you, that you can deliver. And in a QB draw in that situation, when your team's been already so undisciplined the whole night, it does not seem like a recipe for a W. And not only a W, a chance to give yourself a W, like at the end. And, you know, that's just how the chips fell, man. And sorry about that. And, you know, San Francisco moves on to see my Green Bay Packers. And, you know, that's going to be a good matchup. That's definitely going to be a good matchup. Dallas has a lot of questions that need to be answered moving forward. So we'll see how that goes. Far as coaching, you know, positions in general, maybe guys move around in the organization or guys, you know, move on from the organization. So it'll be interesting to see. And we could go ahead and get into that last game on Sunday night, which is the Chiefs in Pittsburgh. Now, most part, this game went how it went. This game went how I thought it would go. Only thing is that Mahomes did have some turnover issues in this game early. Let me not say turnover issues. He had a turnover early, and you know, I just thought he would just be more flawless early, but nevertheless, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. It ain't nothing to sneeze at, and he had a great performance, so I'm taking away nothing from him. Also, shout out Josh Allen, having an incredible performance up there in Buffalo as well, 5 touchdowns, you know. And I just feel like back to Mahomes, he had a great game. He had an interception early. And then from there, he picked them apart. He was able to move the ball downfield. They got McKinnon now, so they're using him on this run a little more than the other guys that they've been using. McKinnon's just back off injury, but he's getting inserted in there, you know, quite heavily. So that's just something to look out for moving forward with Kansas City. But, you know, Big Ben's last hurrah, man. He made the playoffs. I respect Big Ben. I respect what they do over there in Pittsburgh and how every year, you know, they find a way to get into the playoffs no matter who's there. You know, it just shows how the pedigree of the organization and the way they're able to uphold a standard no matter who comes in and out that door. And I believe that maybe not next year or depending on who comes in there, or I put it like this. I don't see Pittsburgh out the playoffs for long, even if they have to rebuild, regardless of who the quarterback is for the most part. Now, if there's somebody in there that's just like funking it up, okay, but I see they have to go through a rebuild stage and being 1 to 3 years max. I don't see them, you know, going through anything too severe. So while also having great assets in Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Najee Harris, guys like that, the tight end, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name at this moment, but the tight end is very good. So they got a lot to look forward to in the future. The Chiefs move on to the divisional round, and they'll go ahead and meet the Buffalo Bills in Kansas City. And the last game is going to go ahead and be the Rams and the Cardinals. Now, this game, it was more off the personnel and the feeling. I know that the front four and the front seven, I will say, for the Rams is elite in a good secondary as well. I knew that the front four could get to Kyler Murray and also without Kyler having the safety valve in DeAndre Hopkins. You know, you saw how out of sorts he was in a pressurized situation. Now, he got it done throughout the season without D-Hop, but in a pressurized situation, you saw how erratic he was. You saw how kind of uneasy he was in the pocket, getting outside the pocket. His size took a toll on him when the pocket was collapsing, not being able to see his receivers, defenders coming off certain angles and edges. So I feel like, you know, Kyler definitely has to go back to the drawing board. Cliff Kingsbury has to scheme better for Kyler Murray to get the ball moving more quickly rather than waiting on everything to progress down the field for the big play. But that was a game I saw that the Rams winning. Now, I didn't see that type of beating, but, you know, that did come to fruition. And, you know, if obviously the Rams are going to move forward when you look at – excuse me, the Rams are going to move forward feeling good when you look at Stafford not having to throw that much, 13-17, 202, real chill, modest day, which he will have to sling in this next divisional game. And I just feel like they're very encouraged by Cam Akers. So this was a good win, and especially a playoff win when you can integrate guys that haven't been there and they're back in the lineup for you and they're able to shine and not only shine but contribute and help the team and not being a detriment as well. Making that comeback, you know, sometimes they can be rusty, a fumble, anything can happen. So, you know, him coming back and being able to be healthy and do his thing is definitely – no, good to see you. Happy to see Cam Akers back on the field. So, jeez. See, I'm rusty. Got the screen shaking. But to divisional round, man, let's get to it. So, we got the Bengals and the Titans. You know, that's the game. Actually, I'm saving that game for last. You still on the side. Let's go ahead and move to my Packers in San Francisco. So, we saw what San Francisco did last week to Dallas. We saw how they came out early, hit them in the mouth, had lows in the second half, just didn't put together a complete game, and they still got the win, you know what I'm saying? So all that matters. They're going up against a Green Bay team that knows the one seed, weaker rest, and getting a lot of guys back, getting Za'Darius Smith back, Josh Myers, L. Jenkins is practicing. Bakhtiari is back. Randall Cobb is back. Jair Alexander is back. So, you know, they got a lot of all-pro guys, a lot of elite players that will be returning for Green Bay. One thing that doesn't change, though, is the philosophy of the 49ers. And we know how they're coming into this game with the mindset of hard mouth, smash mouth football, no matter who's out there. So, the Packers have to be hell-bent. They have to be hell-bent on stopping the run, but also cautious, obviously, of the play action. You know, a big play might be given up because they're trying so hard and desperately to stop the run. But at the end of the day, that you can't let that happen multiple times. But at the end of the day, if you have to force Jimmy G's hand, I would rather that thing get ran over all day like we did in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. You know, so I feel like you stop the run game early and often, that doesn't mean that ends there. You will have to stop it later in the game, too. Packers were up in week 3, 17-0. They came back, took the lead 28-27 late in the fourth quarter. Rodgers makes a game-winning drive, field goal by Crosby, and we win. Now, you have to continue to stop the run. But stopping it earlier and scoring the ball means that you put Rodgers in a situation where he can control the clock. And the more Rodgers can control the clock while scoring in this in a playoff situation, now, I'm not saying Rodgers couldn't control the clock in week 3, but I'm saying in the playoff situation, when you have a 2-3 score lead, you're approaching it very, very differently most times from week 3 to boom, week 19, I believe, or yeah, week 19, I believe, you know, the season. So I think that when you look at the Packers, I think the O-line is getting back to form. I don't know if Joey Bosa is playing at this moment, concussion protocol. Fred Warner seems to be good. I think our receivers have to win in the secondary early and often. And I think that Scantlin and Lazard are going to be a big part of that. That Tay lit them up last time for more than a buck 50. I see a lot of double, triple coverage on Tay. And I see a lot of room and opportunity for Scantlin and Lazard to get theirs. And with that being said, opening up the run game later on in the game, I expect to see a lot of A.J. Dillon in this game. We're playing some hard-mouth football. So that's who I expect to see out there, a little more than Aaron Jones. Definitely in the second half, I expect to see a lot of A.J. Dillon. And I believe that Jimmy G, while he will play good in spots, I think the run game will be very exceptional early for San Francisco. Now, I do believe that the Packers have to prevent a big play, but I do think they'll be moving the ball down the field. The Packers might have to have a bend, don't break approach in this matchup, which they've had to do before. So I just think that this is a game where if I'm the Packers, if it's me, I'm electing to kick to start the game. I want the ball at half. I want to be able to, if not already have momentum of the game and have it by the grips, I want to be able to put a knockout punch out. And the Packers haven't really put together a knockout punch as far as putting teams out of there and not letting them back in the game. I believe that this is the perfect game to do that. And it's going to start with the defense being able to stop the run. That's obviously the most important thing. But also, the special teams has to be solid. We cannot be giving up plays, giving the ball up in the red zone, fumbling, things of that nature. You have to be on point. So I just believe that although the 49ers are a very talented team, I think they come up short as far as being able to stop the Packers moving the ball down the field. And if the run game is not extremely exceptional like it was 2 years ago, and which both these teams are very different, although they do play similar styles at this point in time. If those things aren't on par, I don't believe there's no way San Francisco wins. I do have the Packers in a five point win right now. Joey Bosa would – I don't know Joey Bosa's status. I'm assuming he's going to play because I'm a Packers fan, so I don't want to get any false hope. I'm going to assume he's playing right now, so I have – them at -5, getting that W at -5. I'm not playing with any other number for that. If you get 4.5, that's cool. But I wouldn't go far as a touchdown in this one. Not saying they won't be up by one, but just the ending score is indicative of a lot of things. So you just got to take a lot into play. And then we move on to the Chiefs and Bills. That matchup for me, win that matchup going to the Super Bowl, I think it's easy to say whoever wins that matchup is will have the best quarterback going to the AFC Championship game, might even have the best defense going into the AFC Championship game. The Titans are a solid defense. They're formidable, but I think the Chiefs are playing better at this moment. Cincinnati's defense necessarily isn't really better than the Chiefs, especially being nicked up. So I think that if having the best quarterback and the best defense, that is a very big advantage. And also, if they play Cincinnati, they will be at home. Now, with that being said, in this matchup, I do have the Bills beating the Chiefs again in Arrowhead. I think that that was a big confidence booster for them. They take the playing the Chiefs very, very, very personal. Getting put out last in the AFC Championship game is something they'll never forget. And they showed that when they played early in the season. And they also have the wherewithal, and they have a great coach to let that knows and let those in that locker room know that that's not enough, that that's just a regular season game. And this is what – this is the reason that, you know, they played that game and they played the rest of the season the way they did to make the playoffs and obviously win a division to get to this point, to get the matchup with KC. I'm sure, to be honest, I'm sure a lot of those guys in those locker rooms wouldn't want it any other way, especially guys like Stephon Diggs. I think the defense of the Bills will slow Mahomes down, and slowing him down this, could be a lot of things. Could be an interception or a fumble here. Could be a tipped interception. You know, he got it out late. This is a game of inches for teams of this magnitude, that are this good. You know, this is a 50-50 matchup. And I just feel like the legs of Josh Allen is gonna change this matchup. Also, I feel like the run game for the Bills has got going a little bit. And when you look at Mahomes, he has made mistakes early, and the Bills can capitalize off those mistakes. And can that defense stop the Bills, you know, that high-powered offense? I feel like the only recipe – because the Chiefs can win a shootout. They're a very talented team. The Chiefs can come back from a one score, you know, maybe two score game. But how far behind can they play catch up with the offense just as elite as theirs? And I feel like that's a question that Sunday will answer. And if that doesn't, if we don't get the answer to that question, then I feel like that means that the Chiefs came to play a game from the first quarter. Mahomes didn't make any mistakes and was flawless. And obviously, in that case, the Chiefs will most likely win. But I think the Bills will show that on the defensive end, they can get a stop. They can make some game-changing plays. And Josh Allen can take it from there and move them on to the AFC Championship game. So I have Bills, Packers, AFC, NFC championship game. And then from there, we have what's the other matchup? I'm saving the Bengals Titans for that. Rams-Bucks. Okay, cool. Rams-Bucks. So this matchup, another solid matchup, was a little tough. But in this matchup, I like what Brady's been doing. He always – make something out of nothing, but that's not this case necessarily. He has some guys on the outside, Gronk, Mike Evans, you know, obviously some guys are out for him. So the full squad isn't there, and I think that it's going to be the demise of them in this game. Even if you have guys like Tristan Wirfs and Jensen that play, these guys are banged up with a very physical front four in front of them, one that just got to Kyler Murray very early and often, and that is the recipe to beating Tom Brady. And I think that, you know, the Rams are looking at the way the Saints did it. I think they're going to do a lot of the things the Saints did. I think that their personnel can match up like the Saints, and I think that their front four can cause the same amount of hell or maybe even more. Don't be surprised if you see Tom Brady with a strip fumble, you know, a pick six, you know, in the first half or something like that. They're gonna be very comfortable knowing that Mike Evans is the only receiver outside of Gronkowski, which is the tight end, that can really win those one-on-one matchups maybe more times than not. So to be able to rush your extra guy or to only rush four and be comfortable you know, and get to Brady, that's with that secondary playing the way that they can play, it's going to be very dangerous. And, you know, they don't have Lenny to necessarily complement the run game. So, you know, I hope Bruce Arians' game plan is not to air it out 40, 50 times for Brady, because that it's not going to do it. And you might put him in a situation where he gets 2 to 3 picks, something like that, on your way out. You know, that doesn't look good. So I don't know what resemblance of a run game they can really get with Vaughn against with the K-Vaughn, the running back for the Bucks, coming out the backfield against the Rams. But it's going to be interesting to see. I do have the Rams winning this game. I don't know the points or anything like that. If I was a betting man, I would just take the money line and I would just leave it at that. As far as the Rams, I think they're going to get the W. It could be, I think it'll be a high scoring game, and I think they'll go ahead and take that out. You got Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham on the outside, as well as Cam Akers, who we spoke about playing exceptionally well. So, excuse me, with the emergence of Higby. So that's, I see the Rams taking that game. You know, the Bucs are just missing too much. Although they do have a good defense, that secondary can be had. And they and Sean McVay still has some run game he can use in Cam Akers, Sonny Michel. You know, they won't be able to run the ball like they did against the Cards, but they definitely be able to mix it in. It'll definitely set up some play action at times of the game, and I feel like this is the game that could be in the high 20s, maybe the winner, which I think would be the Rams, maybe 30, 31 points. So maybe 31, 27, 30, 28, something around there, something super close. And so that will set up the Rams and the Packers in the NFC, which we'll talk about the next week once we get this divisional rounds completed. And then we also have one more game we haven't spoken about because we have the Bills and the AFC. So, boom. Cincinnati and the Titans. Now, I've been going back and forth about this game. Obviously, I bet it against Burrow. Wild card round against the Raiders. I thought, you know, he would make a mistake in the game and that it would cost him. And in turn, actually what happened, Derek Carr ended up making a mistake or two, which, honestly, you know, it cost his team in some right, but that wasn't the only thing that cost him in that matchup. But when I look at this matchup against Tennessee, I look at Tennessee as a team that can move the ball down the field with the run game, and they definitely have two guys on the outside that are extremely good, in Julio Jones and Antonio Brown. The defense for the Cincinnati Bengals is banged up, and how can that banged up defense stop Derrick Henry? Now, is Derrick Henry going to be full strength? These are questions that we have, but if the run game gets going with the way that Henry can run, with the way they can control clock, with the way the Titans have played exceptionally well against elite teams this year. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Rams. They beat the Bills. You know what I'm saying? So they definitely know what it means to step up in the big moment. And I think one or two of those wins were without Derrick Henry. So this team is not a team to be slept on. But Joe Burrow and that offense are very, very high powered. Very high power. And, you know, if it comes to a shootout, I have to lean towards the Bengals. But at the same breath, I still am going to go with the Titans because I feel like the Titans can control the clock enough to play their game, to be able to control the game in their style. You know, not to let it get high scoring, not to have Tannehill having to drop back on a comeback drive or late in the game, having him to drop back too much, you know, and things of that situation. I think that they put just like Shanahan pushed Jimmy G in great situations, I think that Vrabel does a good job of putting Tannehill in very favorable situations. I'm going to take the Titans in a very close game. And I think Derrick Henry has a day. I just feel like you don't bring him back in this moment, especially with what's on the line. You're the one seed, all that. But this team has showed that they can beat anybody, even partially without Derrick Henry. So I just think that that's a guy that's just built different. Yeah, you let him off the leash and you deal with the results. And obviously you make sure that he's ready to go. But, you know, he's a monster. And he could change that game in and himself. And Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow can do the same. Let me say that as well. I wouldn't be surprised if it go other way, but I'm going to take the Titans, and I'm pretty confident that the Titans will get it done. But that, saw how Cincinnati started off the weekend, last weekend, in a very good game against the Raiders. I expect this and maybe even a better matchup this week against Tennessee. And that'll start our wild card weekend. Then that Packers game this Sunday, you'll have the Bucks and Rams and Chiefs and Bills. And yeah, man, I'm super excited. This is all these matchups are very good. Nothing you can really pick a clear winner in. Some people say Green Bay, San Francisco. I give San Francisco a lot of credit. They beat us in the playoffs a lot. Of course, I'm going to take Green Bay. I'm a Green Bay fan, but I'm not mad at anybody that takes San Francisco with the struggles we've had in the past. But I just feel like this Packers team has different elements to it, and they'll come to show come postseason. And I can't wait to see all these games. I can't wait to report back to y'all and let y'all know how I feel about them. But, yeah, man, to drop my picks on y'all. So we got Tennessee money line. Not touching, no spread on that game. If the Packers game is at 5, 4.5, I'll take the spread or the money line. And then you have the Rams Bucks. I'm going to take the Rams on that one. So you can take the +3 or you can take the Rams on the money line. And then let me check the line on Titans Bengals. So 3.5 for the Bengals. So I might take the 3.5 on the Bengals, to be honest. I think this game would be super close. So I would take the Titans money line, 3.5 on the Bengals. And, yeah, man, so my picks this weekend, you got the Titans and the Bills moving to the AFC Championship game. And then you got the Packers and the Rams advancing to the NFC Championship game. And I can't wait to see it, man. I appreciate all y'all tapping in. It's a new year, Bontroversial. I'm glad to be back with you all. Plenty more coming soon. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you like to listen to your podcast, and check it out on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram on Bontroversial, and I appreciate y'all, man, for tapping in. Much love. We out.